welcome to any visitors that are here with us. Special welcome to Brian Narcomi, who's visiting with us here today, representing Center of Hope. He's going to be speaking later on in the service. We have a special offering in a week, and so we're just glad that Brian could be here and share a little bit with us about what the Center of Hope is doing. So I think I have one announcement mainly. I know Dorothy Klingenberg made it through her surgery good this past week, so we praise God for that. She's recovering in Slayton Hospital. I know she's looking for someone to help with house cleaning, so if anybody knows of anything available there for her, she might could really use some help in that area in the near future. So you can come speak with me if you want to contact Gerald Van Roekel, her brother, or Dorothy herself. That would be one way to get in touch with her. So if you want to help Dorothy, we come together, though, reminding ourselves of who our help is. And friends, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Hear this word, this call to worship. It's printed in the order of worship. Let's read it together. It says, "Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you." Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we call out to you this morning hour. We say that with our mouths. Right now, God, my mouth is saying, God, I'm crying out to you. But all of us here gathered together, your people, your sons and your daughters, whether we're saying it out loud or not, we're saying it with our lives. God, we're crying out to you. We need your help. We are hungry and we are thirsty. We have a need that only you can meet, oh God. And we recognize that here today. We recognize that we need you, Jesus, in our lives to fill the void, to give us the grace that we stand in need of, to give us hope for future, God, to fill our lives with meaning and purpose. And so, God, we bow before you. We bow before you, great God, for you are worthy of all our praise. May you be worshipped here and adored. So, Holy Spirit, move in this place, move in our hearts, draw us together as your people. May your kingdom come here in this place this morning. This we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together and worship our God and sing 638, "I Need Thee Every Hour." You know, one of the great promises of the scriptures of our God is that when we call to him, he hears us. And when he hears us, he answers. He responds. That's a good promise that we can take trust in. And so God responds as we call to him here this morning. He responds with a greeting, a blessing. So people of God, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Extend a hand of greeting to those around you as well this morning. Thank you. Thank you so much for leading us in that worshipful time. You know, later today I'm going to be talking about how the abundant life is partly one of discipline. And I was listening to you play and the discipline it takes to all be together and to play at the proper time. And so thank you for sharing your gifts and to leading us in that time of worship. Now we're going to sing a song, I Must Tell Jesus. You ever get to a part in your life, you experience something, and you just feel like you've got to tell a particular person, you've got to share it with them? That's how it is in prayer. We come to God in prayer, and we have to share it with Jesus. We'll sit as we sing together, I Must Tell Jesus. I invite you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. This is page 1381. Page 1381 in the Pew Bibles. You know, last night, it was such a beautiful night, and I had some extra time, and so I threw a steak on the grill and sat down and was eating this steak. And so many times when I have meals, especially with my boys, we're rushing to eat. And I mean, I think I taste the food, but maybe not so much. But this time, I mean, I had this steak and I just savored the flavor of that meat. And sometimes when we read God's word, we need to remind ourselves to do that, to savor the flavor of God's word. Let it nourish us and strengthen us. And so as we turn to God's word, let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you for your revelation to us, the word made flesh. Holy Spirit, would you reveal yourself to us now in the reading of your word, that it would nourish us in our spirit, that it would strengthen our bodies, our minds, our souls to you, O God, to your kingdom, to your glory, your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. Satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. When Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's living. And for those of us who have faith in Jesus, we share in the kind of resurrection life that we see in Jesus as well. We are living resurrection lives. And so what is that resurrection life, a life in Jesus, a life of abundance, the good life? What does that look like? Specifically, what does it look like in the face of adversity? In the last couple weeks, we looked at the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, in a particular setting, the city was being besieged, it was surrounded, and what does Jeremiah do? He buys a field. He buys a field in the land with the hope that God would bring them through it one day. We read the story last week of Elisha. And Elisha, too, was surrounded. He's surrounded by troops on every side. He and his servant, and the servant is scared about these troops that are all around. And Elisha prays that his servant's eyes would be opened, and he sees the hills filled with the fiery chariots of the Lord's army all around. Daniel, in this story, Daniel's surrounded. Daniel's surrounded by colleagues of his who are conspiring against him to bring this accusation against him, to bring him into this death sentence kind of position, to throw him into the lion's den. He's surrounded by the threat of the lions all around. I hope that you could gather in reading the story. I hope it was familiar to you in the sense that it sounded like another story you've heard before, that it sounded like the story of Jesus. Did you see how this story of Daniel sounds a lot like the story of Jesus, specifically Jesus' death and resurrection? Did you hear those connections? People plotted against Daniel. They schemed against him. They set this trap up for him so that he would be sentenced to death. People plotted against Jesus, right? They were looking for a way to kill Jesus so that he could be sentenced to death. Jesus was defended in a large part by an unbelieving governmental leader, Pilate. Pilate was looking for a way that he could save Jesus out of this mess. He's like, what harm has Jesus done? He's an innocent man. And at the end of the day, Pilate washed his hands of it. Darius worked till sundown to try to get Daniel out of this situation. Jesus was placed in a tomb. A stone was rolled in front of it. Daniel could just say he was placed in a tomb. A stone was rolled in front of it. The king's signet, his seal, was placed upon it. In a way, it was a royal. His power royally was put in place of this stone, that it couldn't be moved, it couldn't be changed. Jesus was placed in a tomb. Guards were set in front of it. You see the connections. At first light of day, women go see Jesus. First light of day, King Darius goes to see if Daniel is still alive and well. And when the women get to the tomb, they see an angel. And an angel was the one who kept the mouths of the lions shut all through the night for Daniel. At the end of the day, Daniel is placed in a place of death. And out of the place of death, he has life. It's a resurrection story. The amazing thing, though, about Daniel, I think, is how Daniel's living that resurrected life before he even has this whole experience of the lion's den. He's living like he's been given this second lease on life before he's even experienced it. So I want to look at a couple things that I see as this abundant life that you'll have to guide me, Missy. Just go to the next slide. There's only three parts here. The first point I want to make is just that the abundant life is one of integrity. It's one of integrity. And there's two things about this idea of integrity. One is that to be a person of integrity is to be a person who's upstanding, right? When I think of someone who has integrity, they're an upstanding person. Daniel was that. They couldn't find anything against Daniel. They couldn't bring any charge against him. They couldn't think of a way to fire him, much less have him killed. They couldn't find it. He was an upstanding person. There's this idea that I've been taught through my engagement with the Ritter Church Renewal Process, that they teach what integrity is all about. And they say integrity is about doing what you said you were going to do when you said you would do it in the manner in which it was meant to be done. And if you really live up to that kind of definition of integrity, it's really hard to do that all the time. To do what you said you were going to do when you said you were going to do it in the manner in which it was meant to be done. Most of us fall short a lot of times, and we have to ask forgiveness. But Daniel, they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find anything to bring against him. He was an upstanding person. But not only was he upstanding, he lived a whole life, a unified life, I think. And that, I think, has this idea with integrity too, the idea of wholeness, of wholeness. I've been thinking a lot lately that I think it is a disservice to us as Christians how the world emphasizes this idea that there's the sacred and the secular. I think that sometimes hurts us, that idea, because it makes us think that, well, I can live in this world, or I can live in this world, and I only have one life that I can live, right? I only have one life. You only have one life. We can't live two lives, so we can't possibly live in two worlds, but sometimes we try. I like to listen to country music, and I don't always agree with the worldview that country music portrays. There's a song that I heard on the radio the other day. It talks about how the people in the song, they're going to church on Sundays to pray, and on Mondays, well, all kinds of foul language comes out of their mouths. And it kind of conveys the idea that that's just the way it is. You come to church on Sunday and you pray, and on Monday, you go about your other life. No. That's not how it goes. And in fact, Daniel, I think, would say, no, we live one life, and we live it well. And some would say, well, Daniel looks like he's kind of living two lives. He goes to his house, and that's where he prays, and then he does his other life where he works in the government. I say, no. I think Daniel's life is unified and whole and abundant and good because he's faithful, whether he's at his home in retreat and prayer, or whether he's living in the world in the way that God would intend him to live. We have one life. We can only live one life, and we need to live it well. We need to live it in a life of integrity. Second thing, point two would be, is that we see modeled for us in Daniel is how the abundant life is a disciplined life. It's a life of discipline. Even when he was threatened not to do so, Daniel continued to pray three times a day. Christianity Today has this cover. I don't know if you can see it from where you're at. It's got a cover of a donut with a bite, big bite taken out of it. And the writing here says, "For I do not do what the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." You know, so the main article is about self-control. And how self-control, sometimes we think of self-control, actually I haven't read the article yet, I just scanned it. But it talks about how sometimes we think of self-control as like this fire extinguisher, like when we need it, that's when we turn to our need for self-control. But instead it says that rather we should think of self-control like a muscle. And when we don't use the muscle, what happens to it? It grows weak. But when we exercise the muscle, what happens to our ability to have self-control? It's strengthened. It's strengthened. So, discipline, exercise, commitment, service, and we can grow in our abilities to be self-controlled. The abundant life is a life of discipline. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And sometimes, you know, we could say, even in Christian circles, we can say that discipline is well, that's just religious. That's religion. That's doing the same thing over and over again. It's empty. It's hollow. And, you know, sometimes our habits can be a bit shallow and dry. But I've also seen great richness in you all. I've sat with you and listened to you pray at mealtime, a prayer you pray over and over again, the Lord's Prayer. It's the same prayer. You pray the same words over and over again, but it's somehow it's fresh and it's new every time. And that's what we get with a disciplined life. The abundant life that God calls us to, the life he wants for us, is one where we are disciplined. Like Daniel, to pray 3 times a day. I'm excited today because in the mailboxes we put in sheets for the prayer partner program that we started here in the church. 24 people we had signed up to pray together, to commit to 6 weeks, to commit to it for 6 weeks. These 24 people are going to be supporting One and Learn Prayer. And why am I? It's not even me that's excited. By the way, it's this prayer partnership program was initiated by the Ritter Church Renewal Program. That's one of the things we've been trying to do to try to bring about the kind of life transformation we're wanting to see in our midst. And we think that, you know, when we commit ourselves to prayer, when we commit ourselves to just sharing life together, to saying, what's going on in your day? How can I pray for you? A very simple thing. But when we commit to that, we think that there's going to be great life that comes from that. And so I'm hopeful that for those committed to it, this discipline, that there's abundant life promised through this. And then the third point I want to bring is that the abundant life is ever thankful. Ever thankful. There's actually a lot of things, I don't know if you noticed in the reading of the story, there's a lot of things that are constant, like are unchanging in this story of Daniel. The decree that the King Darius issues, it cannot be changed. The seal on the tomb, it's sealed. Nothing can change that tomb from being opened. And Daniel's experience of prayer, even in the face of adversity, it's not changed, is it? Daniel continues to pray, but did you notice how he prayed? In verse 10, it says, he continued to pray, giving thanks to God. And I don't know, that struck me as I read it. So, this edict is issued, and Daniel's life is threatened, and he goes to God in prayer, and certainly he's calling for help. But at least the way I read it, I also hear that Daniel is thanking God in the midst of this. Now think of that. Ever thankful. I mean, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Right? We get this idea that we're to be always thankful as followers of God. But carrying that out sometimes, it doesn't always come naturally. So thanking God for that burr in your saddle. Thanking God. God, I thank you for the fact that I'm sick right now, because as I'm sick, it teaches me how frail my life is and how dependent I am on you for life. Thanking God for, God, thank you for road construction. Because I needed to slow down today. And I want to see you, Jesus, in the person holding that yield sign or that slow sign. But it goes contrary to what we might initially feel, but if you ever do it, it really works to say, thank you, God, for this difficulty in my life, because it turns the control over to God. Thank you, God, because ultimately, did you see there is one other thing that doesn't change in the story in Daniel 6? God is reigning. His kingdom cannot be destroyed. His dominion, his rule will reign forever and ever. That doesn't change. And when we know that, we're thankful. We're thankful. The abundant life is one of integrity. It's one of discipline. It's one of thankfulness. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer and thanks now. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this example of Daniel that we read about, this challenge. We confess that we aren't always men and women of integrity. God, we sin, we fall short of what you call us to. We need your grace. And God, we pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to lead lives of discipline, of ongoing prayer and devotion to you, and that we could have thanks in our hearts, gratitude in our hearts, for God, you have done great things for us in Jesus. May our hearts be overflowing with gratitude this day. And may you receive the praise. This we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite Brian. Brian, you'll come up. Brian, I'm so glad that you could be here with us. And I'm just going to turn over a few minutes that you would share a little bit about Center of Hope, share about what you want to share with us this morning. Brian, go ahead.
Good morning. My name's Brian Arkamy. I'm from the Seminole Seneca Nations. My mother's from the tribes in New York. My father's from Florida, so that makes me a Southern Yankee. But I've been here in South Dakota, I'm in Minnesota now, but anyway, I've been in South Dakota in Sioux Falls for 6 years now. I serve as pastor and outreach coordinator at the Center of Hope, and really rejoice in the Lord. When I hear the words of Him, even coming here each day, I get to share these things, the discipline, the integrity, all this abundance that I have in the Lord. And hearing about Daniel is such an awesome story. Anyway, what we have is a care center. This is where all the ministry takes place. There's three pastors there. Actually, four, our ministry director, but he's kind of doing a lot of the paperwork and stuff. So who we minister to are a lot of the homeless, it's different families. So we minister to every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. That's a blessing. We have winter clothing, have winter boots, gloves. We have a bikes to work program. We have assisted work program that we send people out to work at the fairgrounds, and they help with Faith Temple distribute food on Friday evenings. We have computers that they can do job search and do emails. They check their emails, but also they can fill out resumes. We have a public phone they can use. We have cell phones they can use to call long distance. We'll help them with birth certificates, get IDs for work, give furniture vouchers, food vouchers. We can refer them to Upstairs Counseling, New Haven. There's 9 ministries within the Sioux Falls Ministry Building. Pastor Fred, who's the founder and director, he was director of it. He's upstairs now in Roots, New Roots, which he's chaplain now for John Morrell's. So we get to work with all the ministries within that building, refer to each ministry for counseling, substance abuse counseling, financial support, help, whatever it may be, we get the privilege of doing that. But within our ministries are personal, we deal with a lot of, I'll say displacement, troubled, struggling people, hurts. When I finished serving at the Center of Hope, I'm a Native Cultural Coordinator for Volunteers of America. So I work with young ladies in recovery. So I'm grateful to do that, and I'm going through foster care classes. I have no children, but I delight in little cubs. So I get to spend time with them. Anyway, Adam, who is one of our he's now full-time, but he's one of our mechanics. So in our staff meeting, we were talking about Chandler, and he's kind of really shy, but we have our Bible study devotion on Fridays, me and him. So I said, well, can I do this? He was really pleased, because I enjoy coming to other churches. But I just love people in general. And as I was sharing with Nathan, I'm grateful that they invited us to come here today. So thank you for having me.
Brian, hang on, buddy. Hang on just a minute. One follow-up. I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay, so we said about being ever thankful.
Right.
I'm just curious if you have a person, a story where you saw God at work that you're thankful for in the ministry of Center of Hope, something that kind of stood out where you said, you know, yeah, this is where I'm really seeing God at work.
Oh, okay.
In the work that he's doing. You have
Sure. One lady in particular, and it's been like 5 years, she would come in with her daughter and we would talk, and there's quite a bit of trauma in her life. And we would talk, and I said, well, how are you doing? And she would say, I'm okay. You know, and she said, well, I've got to go. She was real standoffish and shy. And then it took a long time of prayer and then her assuming this and this. But, you know, how she dealt with her problems, she would drink them away. And then, you know, she would be sober for a while and then come in and, you know, beat herself up. You know, and coming from that life, I said, don't beat yourself up, because Satan will jump in there with these kind of things to tear you down. I mean, it's so easy for us to get into that mindset of not worthy, shame, guilt, too many emotions that we haven't dealt with, and, you know, not being encouraged. And I said, but just know that the Lord knows your heart's desires, and none of us want this life. We, you know, the struggle, the suffering, the pain that we go through, even, you know, don't even have to have an addiction. You know, it's the sin of the world and how we are. We all fall short. So now she's walking with the Lord, and it took probably these 5 years. But now, I mean, it took a while, and then she would come in and ask me questions about Scripture. She was identifying different things that she had trouble with, and a lot of it was anger. But also I was able to tell her that there's so many things that we've pushed down, the emotional hurts and pains, but also communicating with others. We didn't know how to trust other people. Or was there any kind of positive feedback within her family structure? You know, because once they go out, they're back into their world, which is really kind of a lot of hopelessness. There's not too many positive things that's happening in their life. But she's found this in the Lord and really rejoices. She's probably one of the, I mean, and I always think of the seed that's planted. It gets watered somehow by the Lord, and he takes total control, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not about my word or my life, but it's sharing Scripture with them, praying with them, because that's the power. The Holy Spirit knows God loves us all, you know, accepts us just how we are. You know, once that takes root, he starts to grow.
Thank you so much, Brian. Hey, I want to say a prayer for you. I know it's not about you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, but God's working through you. God's working through Center of Hope, and we praise God for that. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for Brian. I thank you for the Center of Hope. I thank you for the ministry that you're doing, God, there in that place through the people, the volunteers, the workers there. Lord, I thank you that you are moving and you are working, you are reaching people in need. And God, I just pray your blessing upon Brian and all those that work there, that you would richly bless them. And Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. And so thank you so much. And so next week we'll have a special offering in support of Center of Hope. And so remember that. At this time, we'll receive the offering in support of our work here at Chandler at this time. We're going to sing now, Trust and Obey. We see in Daniel this life of trust, that he didn't ever stop trusting in God. And King Darius came to the lion's den and said, did your God save you, in whom you continually trust? And so we trust and we obey. Let's sing this together now. Thank you. We'll extend a reminder, welcome to everybody to the basement for time of fellowship, coffee and cookies. Brian, you're going to be around, right? So everybody love on Brian and take the opportunity to hear more from him of what God's doing there. And I pray our blessing on our time downstairs and upon the rest of our day, the week ahead. And people of God, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.